Glory to God. We spoke 2 weeks ago on Easter Sunday morning about being broken. Our Lord, as we've mentioned already at the Lord's table, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was willing to be broken. My body, given for you, so that he could experience the resurrection power of Christ Jesus. We spoke 2 weeks ago that it is at times necessary for us to be broken. And sometimes we are broken and other people may break us. But if we allow it to be sanctified, it is so that we can experience the wholeness, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When perhaps we are struggling within our relationships, maybe marriage or whatever, well, we need to bring it to the Lord and see what God will do. This morning I've entitled this message, Broken Like Jesus Was, But Ready for Ministry, Ready for Service. Have you ever wondered, friends, why the Lord seems to choose the least, the last, the nobodies to serve him and to do his work? Except, of course, the Judas who betrayed him, the disciples of Christ were ordinary, uneducated men, were they not? You've probably seen some of the job descriptions that people of today have given to those disciples, and few of any leaders would have had them in their leadership. But Christ chose them because he wanted his power displayed. The glory has to go to Jesus. Time and time again, we see in the Bible how God so frequently, so often, does the greatest through those who admit that they are nothing, that they have no strength of their own. You see, when our flesh stops trying, when it is really broken, God's purposes for our lives are unhindered. And we bring glory to his name. Let's turn in the precious word of God to 2 Corinthians and chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 7. Of course, the Apostle Paul is referring specifically to a thorn in the flesh. We know not particularly what that thorn is. If we needed to know, it would have been here. But in verse 7 it says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So, brothers, sisters, we must come to realize that if we want power from the Lord, well, that power is made known, it is released through weakness. It is released through our weakness. And we must accept that we are weak in and of ourselves. the power of humility is recognizing and agreeing with the Lord, agreeing before the Lord, that we can do nothing of our own selves. God's power is not for those with just natural talents, with just natural giftings, those who have been trained, those who may have leadership skills, those who have the right connections. No, no. God is not even looking for those who want to serve Him at their own convenience, when their own schedules permit them to serve others. But no. Our Lord is looking for followers who are willing to lay down their lives and then see what God will do. The flesh counts for nothing in spiritual matters. We have to die to it. The Apostle Paul says that people who perhaps are just puffed up and full of themselves, they have a form of godliness, they may make a big display, but they're denying God's power, the true power. And brothers and sisters, I'm sure you agree that the world, those who are still not in Christ, They need to see a demonstration of the resurrection power of Christ. Are we asking God to begin today? Another verse of scripture I'd like to bring to your attention is 1 Peter and chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is talking about servants being submissive to our masters and so on, and sometimes we suffer perhaps unjustly, but he compares Christ and his sufferings. Verse 21, it says, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us as an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Christ was willing to be broken. His reputation meant nothing to him. You see, brothers and sisters, when we are like Jesus, when we're broken like Jesus, we are able to forgive people. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. We can truly forgive people and want no revenge. This is natural. This is why we die to self and let the grace of our Lord Jesus. My grace is sufficient for you in your perfect weakness, but we have to own up to our weakness, and we need to be broken before Jesus. Let's think of Joseph, you know, Joseph of the Old Testament. Christ, when he came, was the first time the son of Joseph in his humility. There was a great famine, we know that. And Joseph was despised. He was looked upon as the favourite of his father. And Joseph, because of jealousy, spent time in slavery. He spent time in prison. Then there was this great famine. Now, the brothers of Joseph were desperate for food. We know it. Now, Joseph had every reason to refuse their request. Now, of course, he had every reason to say, you did the dirty on me, I'm not forgiving you. You go home, starve and die. He could have done that. But this was Joseph's reply, as we read in Genesis chapter 45 and verse 5. This is Joseph's reply to his brothers. He says this, but now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Yes, man may do the dirty on us, but if we're surrendered to the Lord, if we say, Lord, have your way, it's sanctified. God's purposes will be seen so that others are blessed. The family were blessed because Joseph committed it to all to the Lord. Joseph's experiences could have made him very bitter, very resentful, could it not? The tough circumstances that he experienced. But he knew his God. He could have had, I'm going to get my own back mentality. Life's so unfair. But instead, the Lord, the sovereign Lord, was at work, allowing Joseph to humble himself, to be truly broken. What was the outcome? Joseph could be a blessing even to those who had hurt him, and yes, hurt him the most. When we are broken, when we are, our lives are rooted in humility, then what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 is true of us, true of me, true of you. It says in the scripture, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind or in humility, let each esteem others better than ourselves. That's the case. There's no room for boasting, is there? You see, we've talked about Joseph. It's hard to think of Jacob and how his life has ended. He was indeed finally broken. There was no room for, well, I am this, I am that. No, no. Instead, we read in Genesis chapter 47 that we find Jacob leaning upon his staff at the end of his life, and simply worshipping the Lord. He was in awe of him, who he is, what he has done. So what is the point, you see, when we are truly broken of our own ways, of our own selfish living, we walk as Jesus did. Let his mind be in you. We're in true humble submission. That, folks, does not mean that we just grin and bear it and, oh, well, that's fine. Put a mask on, I'll be happy on Sunday morning, but I'll be jolly miserable the rest of the week, and I'll make sure the world and the family knows it. No, it's not that. It's a humble submission. And then see what God will do with somebody who has humbled themselves before God, who has allowed themselves to be broken. See what Christ will do. His power made perfect in weakness, because we have chosen. It came through this morning about choices. We have chosen by God's grace not to walk after the flesh, but after with the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit, we deny the lust of the flesh, not just the lust with our eyes and the temptations and wanting to go after that which is forbidden, but the lust of just wanting our own way, doing our own thing, of living for Jim rather than living for Christ and others. What it is, a change has gone on within. Is Christ at work? Isn't that good? Allowing the beauty of Jesus to be seen in me and you. A perfectly surrendered life. Look at him. Consider him. Do we truly want to be broken? To renounce our rights? To submit to his ways? Brothers, sisters, brokenness is something that we do need to embrace. The flesh will kick against it. But hey, we are the Lord's. We want the same mind as the Apostle Paul has. who's willing to suffer for Christ, for the glory of Jesus. We think of Moses. Numbers chapter 12 says this, that Moses was very meek, very humble. He was more humble than all the men on the face of the earth. Now, humility, meekness, isn't weakness, dear brethren. But it is strength that is harnessed for ministry, harnessed for service. God will not work with the proud. Meekness is not weakness. What it is renouncing our ways. See, Moses, it says, became the meekest man on the face of the earth. How did he become meek? 40 years in the wilderness did it. And that will do it every time. The old Moses had to die. The new Moses rose up, who could hear the voice of God above the rancor, above the clamor of the crowd. And we need to be that. We need to be broken and then ask God to mold us and make us what He wants us to be. Again, perhaps right now, we're saying to the Lord, begin that process. We may all think of the times when we acted or in the flesh. We were not broken. Flesh rose up. Pride, perhaps that pride was hurt. And off that email went, off that text went, off that telephone call went. Well, we've all done that. But the sign of a broken heart, the person who's in submission to the Lord and who's esteeming brothers and sisters better than themselves is, hey, I'm sorry I said that. Forgive me. I did it in temper. I did it because me was hurt. And when we say sorry, what healing there is. It's not about our rights anymore. It's about Christ. And seeing the good, looking for the good in others. Jesus came not for His own glory, but to do the will of His Father. Our Lord was in submission to His Father. He never lost His divinity, but He was in submission to His Father. What about you? What about me? Are we living just like we've always done? Or because of the inner working of the Holy Spirit? Because we're saying, let grace reign in my life. That we're entering into the Sabbath rest of Christ. We're ceasing from dead works, you see. We're ceasing from pomp and pomposity. And saying, Lord, I'm surrendered to You. I'm yielded to You. The glory will be Yours. Then Christ can use us. We are ready for service. We no longer are pleasing ourselves, but Jesus. Hallelujah. We need to be living for Christ, and not how we used to when we walked after the pattern of this world. We're different. Not because of good in you and me. It's Christ in us. That's about my grace sufficient. That's what singles you out in the workplace, in the home, at college, at school. Christ in you, in me, the hope of glory. I'm dead, you see, we said, possibly on Good Friday morning. If I'm on the throne, Christ is still dead on the cross. But if Christ, if I'm dead to self, if I put myself, as it were, on the cross, at the feet of Jesus, Christ is truly on the throne. And He's enthroned in my life and in yours. That's God's will. He wants the best for us. You see, the crucified life has nothing at faith, nothing to faith, no, nothing they want to fight for. Except the glory of Jesus. Our reputation is no longer important. It is Christ within us. That is the all-consuming matter. When Christ is in us, then things happen in the spiritual. We are vessels for Christ to use for His glory, to accomplish His will on earth. His grace is being lavished upon us. We appreciate it so much. And therefore, as we heard again this morning, the living water can freely flow from us so that we are a blessing to others. Oh, folks, it is so vital that we are living lives of brokenness. That is the only way we will truly be a blessing to others. But also, that is the way we will gain victory over the enemy. It is the way we gain victory over the enemy. How did Jesus overcome him who had the power over death? Well, it was through his death on the cross. It was through his death on the cross. The spoils of the victory. Well, what? The Satan was defeated. Hallelujah! To the natural mind, that's nonsense. Well, of course it is. It was to me at one point. But these things are spiritually discerned. You are children of the living God. Friends, it was not when our Lord Jesus Christ performed miracles on earth. It wasn't when he walked on the water. It wasn't when he fed the 5,000 that he defeated Satan. They were miracles, and it proved his divinity that he was the Messiah. But that didn't defeat Satan. No, no. It was when he suffered. What a paradox. It was when it was in his brokenness, when he willingly gave up his life, that he brought victory. And because of that, we share in the victory. Hallelujah. The death. Where is your victory? Where is your victory? Glory to God. Wow. We've spoken about choices already this morning. It came through the Word. Are we going to choose the crucified life? Are we willing to be nothing for in spirit? Then we too will find victory over the enemy. Victory over our anger. Oh, that short term. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit. We said last week, why? Perhaps we just seem to, oh, I don't know, perhaps I said, I may have said something important, or it may have been something else. But, you know, we may go after the gifts of the Spirit, but the gifts of the Spirit flow from a broken life, whose life is full of the Spirit, where the Spirit of love is in evidence, self-control. If we are suffering from anger, a short fuse, we need to be broken before God. And then his work within us. It's not natural. And when that old enemy rises up within us, hey, get behind me. I'm sorry, Lord. Quick to apologize. Let Christ's life be seen in us. Victory over jealousies. Oh, how obnoxious that is to the Lord, but also to others. Petty jealousies. When we don't want to see somebody blessed. When we sing God's hand upon them, oh yes, we say, oh, praise God, but it's through gritted teeth. God, deliver you and me from that. Deliver us from covetousness. God, help us. That's dying to self. Strife. Blessed are those who dwell in unity. Thou bless. Even when people dwell in love and unity. But strife? That's the mark of the old man at work. And Satan's taken advantage. The scriptures talk about that. Gossip. If you've got a problem with gossip, then you're still not broken. Please get before the Lord. He's for us. He's willing us. Lust. Dying to self. Or when we struggle with our rights. Well, we find victory when we simply let go. when we let go. Let God be God. And like Jesus, we give up our lives. And then see what God will do. When you and I live lives that are pleasing to Jesus, when we're broken before Him, listen friends, He is able to remake the failures in our lives. He can bring wholeness. Yes. Why? Because He's the master potter, isn't He? He is the master. He can take the broken vessels and remake them into precious ones. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the glory may be the Lord's. It might be of God and not of us. God gets all the glory when people see God using weak, yes, fallible, flawed people to carry out His purposes. Blessed be His name. And then He can accomplish great things for His sake, for His kingdom. Friends, since you and I are one of those earthen vessels, one of those jars of clay, those clay pots, this ought to be a great encouragement to us. This should be a great encouragement to us today. But He is the one. He is the one who has promised not to destroy the bruised reed. Hallelujah. He's promised that. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. We read in the Gospels that He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The Bible says in Hebrews that He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Blessed be His name. If you've ever seen Jesus at work, then you know it is truly wonderful what He can do with a broken life. When you give Him all the pieces. Zechariah says about Lord, I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. What will the refiner's fire do? Well, it will remove the impurities. It will remove itself. It will remove from our lives anything that can rob us of knowing Jesus intimately and doing His will. It's only when our Lord can see Himself and His nature reflected in us that the process is complete. So I don't know what you may be going through, but if the Lord is in it, glory be to His name, just surrender and then see what God will do. Something beautiful will come out of this cracked pot, which Christ will use for His glory. Then, you see, having been broken, we are ready to be used of God. This morning, you may be feeling the pain, but remember, God has a purpose. Through brokenness, we become like Him. It changes us. We are approachable. We are aware of others. We are aware of their needs, their pain. Brokenness, we experience what Christ experienced. So it happened to Peter. Peter was full of himself, wasn't he? Full of me. I won't do that. No. But he was broken. He was contrite. And then God mightily used him. He was full of the Holy Spirit. We can be the same. Let none despise the word of God. You see, we can say, I've done it, I've said this,
Well, yes.
I know the Bible says that, but we have buts. We bring that buts along. I know the Bible says I should be like that, and I know the Bible says I can be like that, but I've always been like it. My father was like it. His donkey was like it before him. And we use all these excuses to say, but Christ in me, it can be different. His glory. To be magnified by the Lord. To be of use there. Our will, our emotions must line up with the word of God. Or else, inwardly, we are despising the word of God.
That's right.
Jesus said, truly, you are my disciples if you live and do as I tell you. If you abide in where? My word. You are my disciples indeed. You are my followers. A disciple is one who follows in the footsteps of the Master, seeking the same attitude and doing the things he teaches them. Jesus made himself with no reputation. You can't protect your reputation, brother, sister, if you're going to be broken in order to reach a broken world. The essence of discipleship is unselfishness. The cost is high, but the rewards are tremendous. Glory to God. Are you a disciple? Well, don't be faithless, but believing. You are not worthy, but he is. Hallelujah. Think of it. The Lord of Lords allows himself to be broken, and because of that, we are blessed. Are we willing to be broken just like Jesus? Then we are ready for service. Glory to Jesus.